Good morning. It is 9:08 a.m. on January 25th, 2017. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order. Welcome all. Today we will begin with invocation and then have the Pledge of Allegiance led by Councilman Callaway.
Callahan.
I was thinking of Callahan. I know, I was thinking about it. Our invocator this morning is Dr. Irvin Seamster, Jr. He's a minister and philanthropist, academician, and entrepreneur. He is at the Light of the World Church of Christ. He was instrumental in developing numerous educational, social, and spiritual organizations, a graduate of Southwestern Christian College, SMU, United Theological Seminary. He serves as the CEO of the Justice League of Texas and was recently named as the president of the Southwestern Christian College, a historically black college and university in Terrell, Texas. He is serving as the senior minister and visionary of the church. And since its inception in 1999, it has grown to 450 members. Today, the church is something for everyone, with almost 25 fully functioning ministries. The church is committed to bringing Christ and the community together as it holds members to empower them in their lives. Thank you so much, Dr. Seamster, for being here. All rise.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Dear gracious God, our Father, just for the privilege to be able to call you God and Father, we're so very thankful. Father, if you're not too busy, look this way. And we ask that as you look this way, that you grant the mayor and the mayor pro tem and each council member wisdom that surpasses all understanding, that as they deliberate and adjudicate, that they will do it in a way that is well-pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We thank you for the great leadership that they provide for this city, and we are blessed to serve under their leadership and guidance. Keep them, watch over them, and do what you do best, perform a miracle in this place. And all of us will be so mindful and careful to give you and only you the praise, the honor, and the glory. This we ask in the mighty name of him who loved us enough to die for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God.
Please join me in the pledge of the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Medrano.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to congratulate Dr. Seamster. I know that he's... I don't know if he hears me, but Dr. Seamster, I just wanted to personally congratulate you on your appointment as president of Southwestern Christian College, and I know that the college is in great hands now, and also I want to thank you for your partnership with District 2 and everything you've been doing for our seniors in our district, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Medrano. With that, we will take our open microphone speakers this morning. I think first, Mr. Sheridan.
Thank you. Our first five registered speakers are Richard Sheridan, Anthony Armstrong, Kermit Mitchell, Marvin Crenshaw, and Yolanda Williams. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. If you do have any handouts, we recommend that you hand them out to our officers ahead of time, as trying to distribute them after your name has been called does affect your speaking time. Again, your first speaker, Richard Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by Anthony Armstrong.
Yes, good morning, Mayor and City Council. Richard Sheridan, 3817 Vinette Lane, Dallas, Texas. Happy New Year. My New Year certainly started off in a very interesting way. Two Dallas police detectives were sent to my home, sent there by a thin-skinned city council member. Here to talk about the top 2017 Dallas priorities. There are many priorities in our city. I picked out what I felt to be the top four. Number one, police and firefighters pension fund. It's been all over the news that the $2 billion police and firefighter pension fund may run out of money sooner than expected. As of today, the fund has lost about $1 billion. Some of the pension fund was placed into very high-risk investments. To me and many others, it's an abomination that our police and firefighters, men and women who risked their lives for us, were allowed to be so abused. Dallas is now faced with the possibility of making significant increases in property taxes to replace the lost pension money, and Mayor Rawlins recently filed the lawsuits to stop those enrolled from taking lump sum withdrawals. Perhaps Dallas can invest some of the pension fund into low-risk, high-growth, and high-return investment companies and opportunities. And I'm very serious about this, what I'm going to say, and it's not being disrespectful. Legal marijuana. Legal marijuana is creating a stock market opportunity of a lifetime. Eight states plus our nation's capital have made recreational marijuana legal, and 26 states have legalized medicinal marijuana. As a result, 63 tiny weed stocks have already shot up a 1,000% by 2020. $150 to $200 billion in total national revenue could be created each year. Quote, the green gold rush, U.S. Today. Quote, the weed industry has become the gold rush, New York Times. In addition to investing in marijuana and CBD stocks, why doesn't Dallas allow the creation of marijuana farms which will produce CBD? District 8 has the largest amount of undeveloped land. Marijuana farms could create hundreds of jobs, increase our tax revenue, and help our mayor's Grow South program. Two, revitalizing West and South Dallas and addressing some of our homeless problems. Well, it's all over the news about what's going on in West Dallas with HMK. First, they were going to evict, and now they're basically, and I think that's good, they're changing their position. So we have people that are under stress in West Dallas. We have people under stress in South Dallas thinking that they're going to be fined out the kazoo and be evicted. So we have a homeless situation with panhandling being one part of it. There was talk about paying panhandlers. That's not a good idea. Why don't we basically pay the homeless to go into the blighted neighborhoods and fix up the property, and then the tax base will go up and everybody will be happy. The bond election, have a May bond election. Let's not kick this important can down the road. Dallas is about $1 billion behind in repairing and replacing its deteriorating roads. Let's not let Dallas' favorite big project builders like the Convention Center Hotel, which is, I think Mr. Kermit Mitchell will be talking about that. It's cost $500 million and it's worth about $350 million. And lastly, sue the Environmental Protection Agency. You know William Hopkins has been coming here for 14, 15 years, and he will continue to come here. The EPA has failed to address the public health aspect of the people that are dying and are sick and dying in West Dallas. It's a thing that we need to do. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Anthony Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong will be followed by Kermit Mitchell, Marvin Crenshaw, and Yolanda Williams.
Anthony Armstrong, 1515 Caravan Trail. I'm here to talk about car insurance scam. The citizens in Dallas shouldn't be forced to pay car insurance because it's really doesn't do any good at all. Just recently, a guy hit me, wrecked my car. And now I'm forced to sue him in court because car insurance is not doing anything. I'm suing him and paying car insurance to have car insurance so they won't throw me in jail. I have car insurance. The guy that hit me has car insurance. I'm paying to sue him. I'm paying to have my car fixed, and I'm paying car insurance. And basically, this is an extortion for car insurance companies. And the city of Dallas, the city, like, if I don't have car insurance, the city of Dallas will take my car and my property and my driver's license. This is extortion through fear with help from the city of Dallas. The other part to this scam is If your car has over 200,000 miles on it, and the guy wrecks your car, the car insurance companies can now say, "Oh, your car is only worth $600," even though my car costs $3,000 to be fixed. Well, they don't even have to fix my car now, because right now I don't know how it got to this system where they figure they can do this to us. And one other part to this scam is liability should only be like $20 or $30. No, there's no liability in this city that I know of that costs that much. They have advertising and all kind of media people, commercials saying $20. But when you call these people, all of a sudden they give you a quote, and lo and behold, you're going to be paying $60 or $70 a month. So that's just like, I guess they're saying it's $20 to kind of keep everybody, the wool over everybody's eyes, because there's not any insurance like that I know of in my neighborhood, Oak Cliff. I don't know anybody with it like that. And it's causing some people to go bankrupt, and then also it's causing some other people to be homeless, too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Your next speaker, Kermit Mitchell. Mr. Mitchell will be followed by Marvin Crenshaw and Yolanda Williams.
Good morning. Kermit Mitchell, 5659 Marblehead Drive, Dallas, Texas, District 3. Focus of my remarks are always on the Omni Dallas Convention Center Hotel. But today it's a little bit different. I want to focus my comments on A.C. Gonzalez. I want to express my admiration and appreciation for the service of A.C. Gonzalez to the city of Dallas and to its constituent citizens. I want to express how I admire and appreciate the professionalism that he brought to each task every day. I want to express how I admire and appreciate the high ethical standards that he displayed and which he required of the departments that operated and worked under his leadership. I also wanted to express an admiration and appreciation for the skill that he brought to what this project that I know best, which is the Omni Dallas Convention Center Hotel, a signature legacy that he leaves here, that obviously I have an interest in and looking forward to buy, but that has not happened given continued resistance at this level. But point is, I express my appreciation for the professionalism in which he handled this situation. We were on opposite sides of the table, but I just wanted to say that I understood his situation, and I appreciate that. And God bless you as you go.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Thank you.
Next speaker, Marvin Crenshaw. Mr. Crenshaw will be followed by Yolanda Williams.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. I would first like to thank those who sent me birthday greetings on January the 10th of my 71st birthday. But Mr. Mayor, and to the council and to the citizens of the city, the first council meeting that I ever spoken in at was in 1972 at the old City Hall. I really became active in the process at Dallas City Hall in 1980 with the election of Elsie Faye Higgins. And so since then, I have either been here running for council. My first council race was in 1983, and the last one I was in was 2009. And I didn't just pop up every 2 years, but we were here to learn the process at City Hall. And I also speak as the remaining active plaintiff. As you know, Mr. Williams has health problems. From the 1988 voting rights lawsuit, Roy Williams, a primary plaintiff, and Marvin Crenshaw, known as at all, was the organizer and sometimes referred to as a father of 14-1. But I come to speak today for one important reason, is that I am sort of appalled at the mayor and some of his cronies' sort of gross disrespect for the Dallas City Charter and the council manager form of government, which you serve under. We have rejected any reference to a strong mayor twice in the city of Dallas, north, south, east, and west. Now, and it's very important historically to me and for redistricting in the future as a the active plaintiff remaining that I put this on the record. But we hopefully that we do not see any interference in the single-member districts from the mayor. That's why we have single-member districts. That's why we have single-member districts, and we have one at large. And we don't need any interference of someone getting their own slate to, you know, interfere in our districts. Now, I'm considering running for District 7, you know, and hopefully some of these young people can get out here. All you need are 25 signatures to get out here and get on the ballot. But we don't need that interference. I mean, we fought for those things, and particularly those in 4, 5, 4, 7, 8, and 3, is that I hear that people tell you, we put you up here. No, they didn't put you up here. It was about a struggle of our mothers, our grandmothers, and people who you don't even know who got out here and struggled. That's who put you here, and that's the history that you should respect, unbought and unbossed. You can always tell somebody, not this time, I'm not going to go with you. Same they'll tell you, and you respect that. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Your next speaker, Yolanda Williams.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to try to make this brief. Of course, you know, I'm here advocating for the bond and the park, so I have a dual role. First, I want to thank a couple council members. I want to thank you, Councilmember Callahan, for doing what we appointed you to do, and that's not play politics, because those of us who live in Pleasant Grove in District 5, I remember you campaigning for streets, 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 and you're not allowing the May election interfere with you keeping your word. So we appreciate you for that. And I want to thank you, Councilmember Grayson. I watched the briefing every Wednesday, and I remember a couple of months you reminded your colleagues and the staff that the voters supported parks as number two. And so well, I'm here to just remind each and every one of you all appointed us to serve on the park board. We voted 15-0 to take care of our neighborhood parks, our neighborhood and community parks, and that's what we're asking. We don't want to be put in the middle of the fights with council. We're going to let you all work it out. We don't want to be put in the middle of what's citywide, but I told my colleagues, they'll tell you, I'm transparent, I'm fair. I fought for them, but I told them when it's election time and bond, I'm going to fight for Pleasant Grove. Crawford has been waiting for 40 years. I don't go to the board members talking about woe is we, woe is me, they'll tell you. But we do not want to wait. We have an opportunity to get the first phase of the lake at $7.5 million. It was heartbreaking to see council fighting over what citywide. At this point, we have a chance to secure the land. The developers are waiting for us to put the regional aquatics so they can try to seize up and capitalize off of us. We want to keep Pleasant Grove and Crawford intact. We have the opportunity. Since I've been on the board for the past 3 years, the community have been asking for a football complex. It's disheartening that those babies in Pleasant Grove have to go to Mesquite, Box Spring, and I think Duncanville and Mountain View to play football. And that's disturbing to me, that we do not have a football complex. So today it is personal. And I'm just going to say what most people are saying that most people won't say. The perception is when we read and see that some council member are not telling us why they're not supporting a May bond, when they campaign, they sat here and said infrastructures, a.k.a. streets, and when we have to read about it on social media and you don't give us an explanation, you know what we all think? We all think that you all not supporting it because you all have opponents. But guess what? Councilmember Callahan, I'm quite sure you'll probably have an opponent too. But we will remember that you did not play politics. that you decided to fight for a May bond in spite of. So when you all don't give your constituent, and I'm speaking on the southern sector since I live there, born and raised, when you all don't give us an explanation why you can't support a May bond, when you all campaign and say it's streets and infrastructure, you give us no choice to believe it's because you all have an opponent. So please do what's right for the city of Dallas and support our parks and recreation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williams.
That concludes your speakers. All remaining registered speakers will be called in the afternoon after all items have been considered. We move now to your voting agenda. Agenda item number one is approval of minutes of the January 11, 2017 City Council meeting.
We have a motion to second. Any edits, discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to your consent agenda. There was one slight change from what you received last night. Your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 42 and addendum item number 1. Agenda item number 6 is pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Agenda items 22, 23, and 24 are pulled by Councilmember Gates due to conflict of interest. Agenda item 27 is pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Therefore, remaining on your consent agenda for adoption, agenda items number 2 through 5, 7 through 21, 25, 26, 28 through 42, and addendum items number 1.
Thank you. Listen to a motion. The motion is second. Any discussion? Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say how pleased I am that the improvements on Jefferson Boulevard between Zhang and Adams, the streetscape, and the other stormwater improvements are moving forward. This will be a really great development for Jefferson. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Griggs, for leading that effort, something that we've been working on for some time. So to spend this money to get Jefferson looking the way it needs to look is a really important thing for the city. With that, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 6 is authorized number 1, an acquisition contract for the purchase and implementation of a fire inspection system in the amount of $210,490, and number 2, a 5-year service contract for hosting, maintenance, and support for a fire inspection system in the amount of $1,017,405. Xerox Government Systems, LLC, most advantageous proposer of 3. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Medrano.
Move for approval.
We have a motion. Second discussion. Mr. Kingston.
Mr. Mayor, Xerox is simply a bad partner. I can't quite understand why staff continues to take bids from them. Mr. Gonzalez, we were supposed to be developing a list of people who are no longer welcome to bid with us. It needs to be a fair and open process so that they can appeal it if necessary. And we don't have that process. And we've been asking for it for over a year. I'm flabbergasted. I wouldn't do business with these people with my own money. I certainly won't do business with them with the taxpayers' money.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? 2 is opposed. The motion is carried. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gates will withdraw herself from the chamber, and we will consider agenda items 22, 23, and 24 collectively. Agenda item 22 is authorized approval of the recommended plan for the proposed alignment of Amonet Street from Akron Street to Commerce Street, new construction. Agenda item number 23 is authorized approval of the recommended plan for the proposed alignment of Baton Street from Singleton Boulevard to the Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way from its current alignment to the proposed alignment. Agenda item number 24 is authorized approval of the recommended plan for the proposed alignment of Herbert Street from Akron Street to Commerce Street, new construction.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We've got 2 opposed. Motion is carried. Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Who made the second, please?
Mr. Wilson.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Gates may now return to the chamber. Agenda item number 27 is authorized number 1, a substantial amendment to the Texas Department of Transportation Local Transportation Project Advanced Funding Agreement, LPAFA Agreement Number CSJ0918-45-820, to terminate the existing agreement as a result of an adjustment in the Regional Transportation Improvement Program. Number 2, a new and updated LPAFA interlocal agreement with the Texas Department of Transportation to replace the existing agreement to provide safety improvement projects at various Dallas intersections through engineering and construction services. Number 3, the receipt and deposit of additional funds from the Federal Highway Administration for engineering and construction services in the amount of $163,000. Number 4, an increase in the local match in the amount of $14,157. Number 5, an increase in appropriations in the Traffic Safety Program Fund in an amount not to exceed $163,000. Number 6, termination of the existing agreement. And number 7, execution of the new agreement. Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kleinman.
Motion to approve.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Yeah, I just had a quick question about where City Map is, what's going on with it, how would this item be affected by the choices we're asked to make under City Map? I suspect staff has more update than I do. I've been asking TxDOT directly for a matter of months, and I'm not getting good answers. Are you, Aro?
We could ask Transportation Planning to give you an update on City Map. This project is basically for existing signals citywide.
So it won't really be affected?
It won't affect.
Okay. If we could just get that update, that'd be great. I think we should.
Sure.
I don't understand the delay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mayor. If I may address Councilmember Kingston,
I don't know if that's...
Oh, because
he says this doesn't really impact it. So let's make sure we'll get him an answer, all right? I think it's a good question. And
call me.
Okay, and we'll do that. But I just, for the sake of discussion, thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 43, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For full council appointment to the Cultural Affairs Commission adjunct members, Jorge L. Baldor is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Alonso and meets the historian qualification. To the Reinvestment Zone 4 Board Cedars Area, Veronica L. Simmons is nominated by Councilmember Medrano. For individual appointment to the Youth Commission, nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Alonso is Yamilet Pereira. Those are your nominees.
And a motion and a second. Any discussion? Please, Ms. Alonso.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, thank you very much for your support on the Youth Commission. I wanted to let you know, I don't know if you all remember, this young lady was the one that came and spoke on behalf of the tenants of HMK. She's also an HMK tenant. She's very excited. She's a Pinkston High School student, and she looks forward to being able to participate in this commission. So appreciate your support. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 44, which will require a record vote. Item 44 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if such becomes necessary for Morrisdale Martin to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 432,376 square feet located in Kaufman County and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Lake Tawakoni 144-inch pipeline project.
Mr. Callahan.
I move approval on that item.
Thank you. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, I guess we take a record vote.
Record vote, yes, sir. Please cast your vote. Fourteen have voted. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members McGew, Arnold, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Members Gates, Kleinman,
Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Mayor Pro Tem Alonso, Council Members Callahan, Grayson, and Young. Voting against, Council Members Medrano, Kingston, and Griggs. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
The following statement applies to agenda item number 45. By making and seconding the motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the item will require 2 seconds. Agenda item 45 is authorize a development agreement with GPIWE Limited Partnership to assist the redevelopment of the Factory 603 project located at 603 Munger Avenue and to secure public access to the new plaza in the West End District in the city center TIF district.
Thank you. Ms. Callahan.
I move adoption.
We have a motion and a second.
2 seconds, Mr. Mayor.
We need another second. Thank you. We have a motion, 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item 2 will be held until after the closed session. Addendum item number 3 is a resolution realigning the North Texas Education Finance Corporation Board of Director terms to begin October 1 of odd-numbered years and expire September 30 of odd-numbered years.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion to approve. We've got a motion and a second. Ms. Grayson, Mr. Medrano, I thought. Anyway, any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 4, Councilmember McGugh has a conflict and will be withdrawing from the chamber.
Before I leave, can I make one comment on this item?
I don't think you can. I don't think you can. Sorry. I think we break the law. Sorry.
Addendum item 4 is a resolution designating an absence by Councilmember B. Adam McGugh as being for official city business.
Thank you. Entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Do we have a second? Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Just a comment on council absences from scheduled meetings. Each of you has been elected by approximately 58,000 registered voters. And if, in your opinion, your time is better spent on official city business away from a committee meeting or a meeting of this body, that is your decision. You may be right, you may be wrong. We may agree, we may disagree. But in terms of trying to declare that a council member who says he or she is on official city business, if you're going to vote against that and say that wasn't official city business, that's ridiculous. That is utterly ridiculous. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we're going to have a little discussion on this. And I think this is, in order, so I'll let the conversation go on. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I ask the attorneys then if why this is required that we approve an absence, if that should just be in council privilege? And I thought is there a reason? I mean, we are, our first responsibility is to go to committee meetings and to go to the council meetings. So if it's, I mean, I'm asking why then we have these resolutions that are required by council. Is there an attorney that can answer that question?
She's coming up.
Thanks. I did ask Mr. Magoo, because I feel like we should be attending all committee meetings unless there's some reason why that we're called for official city business, and verified that he was asked to help secure a mediator for the pension. So that's why he was there, for those of you who are wondering why he was not. And he was at, he disputes, he thinks he was at more than 50% of that meeting, but I guess they keep time and he wasn't. So that's why we were asked to approve this. But
The city council rules require that each city council member attend meetings and stay in attendance during each meeting, and no member shall be excused from attendance except for good and valid reasons. So you all vote on that. And I think the rule goes into absence. Council member can be absent from the meeting on official city business at the direction of the city council. So you all vote on.
So read back what is the good and what was the term that we, so that's what we're asking to be, when we get these resolutions, we're determining that the reason for the miss was.
It's good and valid reason, and or the person was on official city business at the direction of city council.
At the direction of city council. So if you put city business, then you're being asked by the council to go to that.
It says at the direction of city council.
So if you choose just to meet with a someone that has a zoning case with you, would that be at the direction of city council?
I think it's a case-by-case basis. I mean, I'd have to know the facts to answer the question.
So it's okay for us to ask who's ever asking for the excuse, hey, could you tell me why you were...
I mean, the rule does say that you excuse it. It has to be for good and valid reason and at the direction of city council. So, I mean,
okay.
In order to determine that,
okay,
you may need to ask questions.
Okay, thanks.
In practice, just to clarify, the direction is given after the fact in the past, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Mr. Callahan.
So, Tammy, this is just a means of us kind of keeping score to kind of justify the action so that there's not an abuse, I suppose.
Right. You're supposed to attend all meetings and stay at the meeting for the entire time.
I know, but
it gives... And plus, I think that Rosa keeps attendance, and there's a percentage of time that you have to be at a meeting. So she has to keep that attendance. So there's several reasons why.
I know certain council folks in the past have had meetings in their office, you know, with a constituent or whatever. Then that could be potentially an abuse. Maybe it's just as means like, well, those council voting items are boring. I'm just going to go over here and have a little sidebar meeting because I don't want to sit through this discussion or these speakers or whatever.
So I mean, I think that's why the rules require the council to excuse it.
So it's really our means to eliminate or reduce abuses, I guess.
It's up to the council to decide if it's a good and valid reason and at the direction of the council.
And I don't think, in this particular case, I don't want to vote for anybody else, but I think if they're doing something pension related because of this, the dire circumstances, the import of that matter, I think is clearly, you know, a valid reason. But I do think there's been some abuse since I've been on council of people just trying to call something, you know, official business, and really in retrospect, it's not. Thanks.
I mean, there are examples in your rules of absences that are excusable, including attending conferences, testifying at the legislative hearing, attending different board and commission meetings. So there's a list of things that are examples of excusable absences. But I don't think that is an exclusive list.
Do you mean those excusable absences, but they still need to need to be voted
on? Example, yes. Yes,
okay,
absolutely. But
they're just examples.
For
thanks.
The
Ms. Grayson?
Okay, I'm going to give some history here. As to why we have these rules. So years ago, there was a particular council member who pretty much never attended committee meetings, feeling as though they weren't really a good use of her time. And so other council members adopted this rule that said you have to show up at least a certain number of times in order to get your salary. Well, then after that, other council members kind of abuse the committee meetings by coming for the first 5 minutes or the last 5 minutes. And that meant they were there. But they weren't really there because they were only there for 5 minutes. So then we adopted a rule that said you have to be there at least 50% or more of the time. So there's history as to why we have these rules. But the reason I think it's good to have these rules is when council members choose not to come to a committee meeting, it puts an extra responsibility on the rest of us to show up so that there's a quorum. And I think that it is part of our responsibility as council members to attend these agenda meetings, briefing meetings, and committee meetings. That's one of the reasons we're elected. Committee meetings are where we do our business. We discuss items before they get to the full horseshoe here. And I think it's important to be there. And so I'm very reluctant to just go ahead and approve these things. And in this instance, Mr. McGue said that he, you know, would never do this, and except that in this particular instance that it was related to the pension fund. I thought it was important, so I'll vote for this. But just to set up other meetings when you could do that some other time, I think puts extra responsibility on the rest of us to be there, and I don't think that's fair. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Ms. Palomino, could you tell us then if you don't, if you were to fall under that, what's the requirement, 10% of, if you miss more than 10% of the meeting, what happens?
I believe it's 50%. Is that correct?
No. But if you don't have a legitimate reason, and you, because some of us may have personal days or personal reasons why we don't, and then that counts against your time attending the requirement.
It counts against your compensation.
It's okay. So we have a requirement related to our compensation.
Yes.
And so, and what's that requirement?
Rosa, do you mind answering that question?
Well, I would actually have to defer to the chief financial officer because they are the ones that calculate it. But basically, it's about 10% of the overall meetings held by the city council. So obviously that 10% will drop if you cancel meetings. Special meetings don't count. But it does start affecting your compensation, which is the reason for exemption.
Okay, thanks.
Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, just quickly, I think an important point. Let's say during the last 4 years, has there been any time where a motion to excuse a council person's absence, has that actually been defeated or not approved by the council body?
I don't believe so, no.
See, it appears to me a kind of a perfunctory dog and pony show that we just, oh, okay, they were on council business, and we just kind of go through the motions. But I think it's important, based on what Ms. Grayson said, and I understood the history as to why those rules were in place. And I know that recently an ad hoc judicial nominating committee, we had a hard time getting a quorum for about 2 months. So I just want to make sure that people are responsible if they're going to be on those committees. And if at the end of the day they just don't want to be on the committee, they need to go to the mayor and say, Mayor, I just don't want to serve, or I'm not going to serve. And then we can make a replacement so we can have a quorum. Thank you.
Thank you. I will be capturing this discussion in an email, and I'll just send it out to everybody to kind of make sure everybody knows the rules. I will do a better job at tracking this as I appoint committee chairs going forward and making sure that everybody participates the way they should. Thank you very much. And so now it has to do with Mr. McGue. Ms. Arnold wants us to talk now.
Yes, I do. I have listened, and I do agree with the comments that have been made, but perhaps we need to also take into consideration, and I don't know what all has transpired, but I tend to think that from the time I get up to the time I go home, it's, you know, you're on city business. I mean, most of the time you're taking care of business, whether you're going through the neighborhoods, recording code violations, and talking to constituents about different issues. That's just the way I do my business. However, I think that it is important that we have documentation. I think it helps us in the event that an issue is raised that affects our position as a representative of this city. But I think if you have situations where an individual is giving what we call today alternative facts about where they were and if they were actually conducting business, then that becomes very important and germane to the discussion. But we've got to be careful in terms of just debating what is city business. I know if someone stops me and the constituent has a question, and sometimes I may very well be late because they have a legitimate question and that I will answer, but never would disrespect the business of this city. So I did want to put that on the record and just know that it is important to have documentation so that I think it protects us as council members to have that documentation on record, and that we as council members have an idea of just what is going on so we can defend or address that issue. So I did want to take that opportunity to let you know that we are in a different world now and that alternative facts can affect the decision or the use of this council. So thank you for listening, and I will support Mr. McGue.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Yes, Mayor, I had a question for you. Are we, as council members, required to be on three committees?
Can we choose not to be on three committees?
I was told that you are.
That's what I thought, too, is that we're required to be on three committees.
Tammy, excuse me. Ms. Palhamino. I was just told that. That's all.
Looking up the rule, sorry.
Three standing committees, I think.
Yeah, versus ad hoc.
Versus ad hoc.
Right, standing committees, yes. Let me read that, and I'll get you the answer. I don't want to give the incorrect answer on the spot.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your morning items, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Before we leave, I think we have three important items that need to be articulated. First is just a matter of business. This email is going out to everybody on schedules. I just want to say it so everybody makes sure they got it. I talked to Mr. Broadnext, and Mr. Broadnext's first day is February 1st, which is next Wednesday. When we looked at the agenda, there wasn't anything pressing that we had to do next week. So I thought it was best to give our city manager the first day in the office working and getting together. Then we will have a council meeting on the 15th, okay? That was on your calendar already as a retreat, but we'll move it to a council briefing meeting, okay? And the retreat is going to be moved to March 29th and 30th. Mr. Broadnext felt that his staff needs the time to get together a good retreat, and that will most of it's going to be around the bond. We've got to, you know, deal with that, and we'll have that. So I just want to know everybody will get that, and I think I've been told everybody's calendars are good with that. So,
Mayor, is that stating that next Wednesday will be canceled?
I'm sorry, okay. I didn't speak very clearly. Yes, no meeting next Wednesday.
Okay, thank
you. No meeting next Wednesday. Ms. Arnold.
Yes, that was one quick clarification I needed. But also, would you please give us an indication, and you can do that through email, is how the window of time that we can submit topics for the retreat?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. That'd be great. Thank you. No, well, yeah, but the snow days actually, we're working the 15th at a briefing, so.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes?
So since we're not having a meeting next Wednesday, February 1st, I just want to say congratulations to my husband. We've been together 19 years, and February 1st would have been our anniversary, or is our anniversary.
Well, maybe we should have a meeting just
no,
so you could have
No, it. Thank you. I'll tell him. We've got all day.
Okay. The second item is to recognize that our city manager's last city council meeting is today. He has worked very hard and very long for the city. He's been in the municipal management business for four decades. We want to say a deep appreciation for what you've done for the city of Dallas and the citizens. And so with that, I will present you with a resolution, and unlike usual, I will read every word of it because it's important, okay? Whereas Arthur A.C. Charles Gonzalez, Jr. Okay, you want me to do this? Whereas Arthur A.C. Charles Gonzalez, Jr. is a native-born Texan and raised in San Antonio. Mr. Gonzalez earned his bachelor's degree with honors from the University of Texas at Austin in 1973 and his master's degree in urban studies from Trinity University in 1976. And whereas A.C. Gonzalez has built a strong record in municipal management for more than 40 years, serving as city manager for three other Texas communities, the city of San Marcos, the city of Carrizo Springs, and the city of Dilley, where he started his career in municipal management at age 23, one of the youngest city managers in the United States. And whereas the Dallas City Council appointed A.C. Gonzalez as city manager on January 21st, 2014, as city manager, Mr. Gonzalez was responsible for the daily operations of the municipal organization managing a staff of approximately 13,000 employees and a budget of nearly $3 billion. And whereas A.C. Gonzalez also served the City of Dallas for 15 years as Assistant City Manager and First Assistant City Manager overseeing the Dallas Police Department, Aviation, Dallas Fire Rescue, Municipal Courts, Office of Emergency Management, Convention and Event Services, Housing and Community Services, Economic Development, Planning and Development Services, Libraries, Parks and Recreation. I guess we should have said, which ones didn't you do, okay? And whereas during his tenure, Mr. Gonzalez spearheaded projects that changed the face of Dallas, including the development of the Omni Dallas Convention Center Hotel, management of the Love Field Modernization Program, and negotiations of the Dallas Stars Reunion Arena lease, which brought the professional sports franchise to Dallas. And whereas in these roles, A.C. Gonzalez worked with community members to overcome a number of challenges, including the Ebola outbreak and attacks on the Dallas Police Department, the city received praise from around the country for its response to these crises. And whereas with his leadership, Dallas has experienced record economic growth and surge in citizens' satisfaction at record levels. And whereas the City of Dallas commends A.C. Gonzalez for significantly improving city operations to include transparency, community paramedic services, ethics and diversity, and a holistic focus on neighborhoods. Now, therefore, I, Michael S. Rawlings, Mayor of the City of Dallas, and on behalf of the Dallas City Council, on Wednesday, January 25th, 2017, do hereby extend special recognition to A.C. Gonzalez for his many years of dedicated service to our community in Dallas, Texas. There you go. Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to say thank you to AC because I met AC way before I was a volunteer at the local recreation center in West Dallas at J.C. Sadawasa Recreation Center, and there was a meeting with Mr. Salazar's budget town hall, and AC wanted to calm the folks down on improving or making J.C. bigger, and that's when we first had a real interesting conversation. I don't know if you know Mr. Jerry Nicholson or remember Mr. Jerry Nicholson, who helped the community a lot. But I think that was the beginning of visiting with Mr. Gonzalez and knowing him and learning how he works to be able to get things done, not only in West Dallas and in Ledbetter area, but also in the whole city of Dallas. And then I learned that he has been in the neighborhoods that we've been at and experienced the pluses and the minuses. So on behalf of not only District 6 Council constituents, but also the whole city of Dallas, thank you for everything. And I know that we also said thank you to Melinda for giving you that support, for her to give you the support for you to be able to do what you needed to do. Not everything was the way we wanted it to go, but I think that it was a great learning lesson. And I think it was also very important that you were, as was noted earlier, very professional, very respectful. And I think that that's why the haters hate you for that, because you are very, very professional. And that is what kept you going all these years. And I think that that is something that we can all say about you, that you gave almost a good part of your life, or have given a good part of your life, to public service, especially to the city of Dallas, and that we're forever appreciative. Muchísimas gracias. Dios te bendiga.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. It's no secret around here that I am a big fan of AC. I continue to be a big fan of yours. You were always willing to talk through an issue. You're a great listener, and I, for one, very much appreciate that. He also, as you know, I've said before, had the excellent good judgment to live in District 12, and will hopefully continue to live in District 12. Wanted to say I, for one, will miss you very much. Thank you for what you did for this city.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. AC, I want to say thank you for your years of service to the city. I got a chance to know you, I think, as a candidate. I think our bond connected. During the question and answer period, a lot of people were asking different questions about, you know, when is council's first day of recess, how much money for this and that and the other. And I asked AC a question about matrix of process management. And he just perked up and looked at me and was like, okay, no one asked that question because it was about Mark McDaniel. And so he got that point that I was about the process of quality improvement and how to improve the city. And from there, we developed a bond. And he was very receptive to meeting with me and discussing how we can make the city better and being practical. One thing I really did appreciate was your practicality, your ability to be able to look at a situation and just be practical in thinking, let's logically walk through this and how we resolve this, and understanding the micro and macro expectations and views of whatever the issue may be and how to best go about resolving it. So I really do appreciate that, and we'll miss that that piece while you're gone. And like I said, most people that retire don't really retire, so I think that you're going to go do what you really want to do, and I look forward to you, hopefully you being around, continue to be of service not only to residents of Dallas, but wherever you may be, and we will miss your presence at City Hall. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Ms. Arnold.
Yes, thank you. Sorry. Thank you again for this opportunity to speak. Mr. Gonzalez, I just want to add just a little bit today before we leave. I know there will be a number of other opportunities for us to gather around and shake your hands and take selfies, and I would want to do one of those before you leave. However, just 2 years of working with you has been very rewarding for me. It's been great for me in terms of just getting an understanding of just what a city manager does and the expectations and the relationship that we have with council as a council member. But just one, just quick plug, I want you to know that I admire the fact that you were able to withstand quite a bit in terms of personal attacks, whether it was around the horseshoe or on the social media. And I was always amazed at social media because so many people seem to know you and know your salary and know your every move, and I thought, my gosh. But you stood strong, and that speaks volumes of you, and perhaps that has to do with the background of the military, and so I applaud you for that as well. He's personable. He always has a little smile. I don't know that I've ever really seen you angry, but you always have that smile. He's accessible. he's always been in the community when I asked, and he's to be commended. Whether it was a town hall meeting, a bond meeting, whatever the call, you were there. I did appreciate so much the fact that you were able to come out to the church events, and just and individuals in the church were like, is that A.C. Gonzalez? Forget everybody else who was there. They're going, is that A.C. Gonzalez? As if they had this personal relationship with you, but it meant a great deal to the constituents that you would come out and worship and share with those members of their community. The third piece, and I really admire you for this. I don't know if you all saw him walking in the MLK parade. You notice he had the little stride when he walked, working those shoulders. We appreciate that, Mr. Gonzalez, your commitment to supporting the parade, but just being a part of it and being in contact with the community meant a great deal. Last but not least, I appreciate the fact that you've taken my advice. I've tried to help you through the storm, and I introduced him to the opportunity, not so much introduce you to, but the experience of enjoying hot chocolate. You know, it calms the nerves. It helps you get through the day-to-day activities here at City Hall. So thank you for taking that advice. And last but not least, as you talk about Mr. Gonzalez going to on vacation and retiring, one of the serious conversations we've had, and I really mean this, is that because of your experience that we've heard around the horseshoe today and with the resolution, I'm hoping that you will seriously think about joining one of our community colleges as an adjunct professor, or even working with our local school districts. It's not often that students are introduced to the career of or position of a city manager. And so I think you have a wealth of information that you can share with the students in this city as you go on to your next life. But I want to thank you there and thank you personally and just let the city know that we've lost a city manager who was truly committed. And I'm going to keep praying for you as you get through the fire and pension board discussion. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll never be able to top that speech, Ms. Arnold's comments are very, very poignant. And we're losing a city manager, but I think I've gained a new friend. You know, from day one, you know, I've always been on the same page. You know, things haven't always gone as well as they should, but I don't know of any city manager or at any time in the history of this city that we've had more hot or big topics, you know, piled on it all at once. As soon as you grab the steering, you know, I think back in July of 2013, I guess as interim, then I thought to myself, wow, I mean, this guy's got a lot on his plate, you know. So it's an awesome responsibility. It's a unique thing, this council manager form of government. But I want to, you know, thank you and your wife, Melinda. Y'all have always just been very dignified and very nice to me. And thank you for all the things that you've done for our great city of Dallas. This guy also had the good intelligence to go to the University of Texas, so can't be all bad. Now, Mayor, I may have missed it, but I didn't hear anything in the resolution about the city manager's back office personnel, FTEs, loose dogs, potholes, or pension issues. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you very much, Mayor. And AC, thank you very much for the hard work you've done in the city. I very much appreciated getting to know you both in city business and personally. We've had many great discussions, some heated, some otherwise, but you've always been had real integrity and real openness with me, and I very much appreciate that. You have a good ability to look at both sides of an issue and honestly argue either side of most issues, which is helpful because it helps us understand what are the components so that we can come to at least the best decision. Not all decisions are perfect, but we try to make the best decisions for the city. I think one thing that a lot of people don't recognize is all the things that go on in this city without having ongoing debate. You know, you turn on your water and the water comes out and it's clean. You know, your trash gets picked up every week without fail. The airport runs miraculously all the different kinds of operations and things that have to go on over there. The sewer, both wastewater as well as sanitary sewers, work. Even the streets, which we have a lot of complaints about, tens of thousands of miles of streets, and I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say third world streets because, my God, I have been to plenty of third world countries, and they wish they had streets like ours. Now, yes, we need to get them fixed, and we're working on that. But my point being, there is so much that has to happen, and it doesn't happen on its own. So thank you very much for the work you're doing. Thank you very much for the staff that you pulled together. I think you pulled together some incredible people that can work semi-autonomously so that you can work on some of the big issues that we face every day. So I've appreciated getting to know you. I've appreciated the work you've done for this city. And Dallas is a better place for you having been here. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I have to reflect, I think, on the first crisis that I experienced with Mr. Gonzalez, which was the Ebola. Ironically, yesterday I was in a with a panel that was preparing a follow-up report from all the cities that were impacted by Ebola, and I had to relive those first few days. And I'm reminded of when myself and Mr. Magoo and Sana were at the Ivy, and it was quite, it was chaos. I mean, it was just sheer chaos that first few moments. And we got you on the phone, and we said we need police protection for the residents, and we had a laundry list of things that we needed immediately. And we didn't have a roadmap of which way to go at that point. And you made sure that we had the police chief there and the fire chief there, and got everything rolling in those first 24 hours. So thank you for that. And then I think on a personal note, I'll miss, AC and I have run the cities of TML and LC together. We've run through Seattle, I think was our first run together. We've run through Austin and D.C. and Nashville when we've been on these trips in Washington, D.C. And I'll miss those. I mean, we've run fast and we've run slow and we've walked, but we've witnessed trails and different amenities in these cities. So I will miss that at my next NLC or TML, not to have you there. We'll see if TC likes to get out there and visit and enjoy the cities. I'm not as fast as I was 4 years ago either, but but thank you for that. And I know you're going to stay a resident in Ms. Grayson's district, so come back and visit.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. AC, I want to thank you for your years of service. And then personally, you know, you may or may not remember this. You were probably one of the last city managers that I actually met with. I met with all the other sister city managers. We had talked about one of my priorities, which it was economic development. And when you came in, I told you we had all these meetings in the community about how to market Southern Dallas, and you said, okay, we can't focus on all of Southern Dallas, but if you pick one area, and I said, you see that map right there? I said, that's the area I want to focus on. And you said, okay. And you committed top-level staff to help me. It was Neighborhood Plus before Neighborhood Plus existed. And so I want to thank you for that. You made sure that whatever help I needed in terms of understanding how to engage the neighbors and see a real partnership between city staff and the neighbors, what I call local government at work, see it work in the Redbird area. And the residents are very excited about that. They appreciate that, and I appreciate what you've done. And I know whatever it is you choose to do next, you're going to do it even bigger and better. Thank you, AC.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. And on behalf of the citizens of Dallas, we thank you. Your representation of this city has always been professional and with a lot of grace. So you're a classy man, A.C. Gonzalez. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have one more important piece of business to do, but after we do that, we're going to go into executive session. We'll get a briefing there, and we will meet back here at 1 o'clock. The last important business is Mr. Kleinman's.
Thank you, Mayor. I would just like to congratulate my colleague, Sandy Grayson, on her 39th birthday again. And, and so we've brought a cake, double chocolate. And so if we'd all join together and sing her happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sandy. Happy birthday to you.
It is 10:16 a.m. on January 25th. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. Receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described under the agenda: legal issues related to the Dallas Police and Fire Pension System. But if we go right back there, we'll be get this done. We'll be back at 1. All right. The City Council has completed its closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, and at 1:04 p.m. on January 25th, 2017, we have returned to open session. We will begin with our afternoon items, the consent agenda. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your zoning consent agenda item.
Excuse me. I just want to say one thing. Excuse me for interrupting you. But an item has been passed out, should be in front of everybody. We'll take that item up at the end of the regular session today. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Young would like to be recognized on agenda item number 47.
Ms. Young.
I move to defer this item until February 8th, 2017.
Okay. We got a motion and a second for deferment. Discussion. Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, was that item 47? Okay. That's all I needed.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo would like to be recognized on agenda item number 59.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer item number 59 until February 8th, 2017, please.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Councilmember Young would like to be recognized on agenda item number 63.
Ms. Young.
I move to defer item number 63 to the February 22nd, 2017 meeting.
What, that was 63. Thank you. Any discussion?
Yes. That item, colleagues, had been deferred, and we did have a well-attended community meeting, but the deed restrictions are still being reviewed by the city attorney's office.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Councilmember Young would like to be recognized on agenda item number 66.
Keep talking, Ms. Young.
66.
I move to defer this item to the February 22nd, 2017 City Council meeting.
Anything?
66.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Ms. Young, anything else? All right.
Thank you. We proceed now to your zoning consent agenda, consisted of agenda items 46 through 59. Agenda items 47 and 59 were just deferred. Therefore, remaining on your zoning consent are agenda items 46, 48 through 58. Those items will be read into the record, after which speakers will be called prior to City Council consideration. Agenda item 46 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an R-7.5A single-family district on property on the southeast side of Bruner Avenue, east of Balboa Drive. Agenda item 48 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1559 for an open enrollment charter school on property on the northwest corner of Sine Road and Glover Pass. Agenda item 49 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a motor vehicle fueling station on property on the east side of Southampton Road and north of Mountain Lake Road. Agenda item 50 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CSD1 commercial service district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant with a dry liquor control overlay on property on the north side of East Point Drive at the terminus of Olson Drive. Agenda item 51 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 623 for R-10A single-family district uses to allow for a private school by right on property on the southeast corner of Webb Chapel Road and Royal Lane. Agenda item 52 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU3 mixed-use district on property on the northeast line of Irving Boulevard, west of Wycliffe Avenue. Agenda item 53 is a public hearing regarding a landmark commission authorized hearing to consider a historic overlay for the Underwood residence, 5310 Park Lane, on property on the southeast corner of Park Lane and Meadowbrook Drive, and an ordinance granting the historic overlay. Agenda item 54 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to an expansion of specific use permit number 88 for an electric substation on property on the southeast corner of North Jim Miller Road and Sine Road. Agenda item 55 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1953 for a restaurant with drive-in or drive-through service on property on the south corner of East R.L. Thornton Freeway, Interstate 35 East, and South Riverfront Boulevard. Agenda item 56 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU3 mixed-use district on property on the southwest line of Farrington Street, northwest of Crampton Street. Agenda item 57 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an inside commercial amusement use for a live music venue on property on the north line of Exposition Avenue, south of Commerce Street. Agenda item 58 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an LI Light Industrial District and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the east side of King George Drive, south of Regal Row. That consists of your zoning consent agenda. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Move.
We have a motion second. Discussion. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to comment on my item number 53, which is in District 13. I'm proud that this is a Dilbeck home that is going to have a landmark designation and historic overlay. So, and that was brought forward by the current homeowner. So I just wanted to take note. We're proud to have that in District 13.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried.
We've moved now to agenda item number 60, a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet on property on the northeast corner of Murdoch Road and Elkton Circle, southwest of CF Hahn Freeway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 31 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in opposition? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the Plan Commission.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 61 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1501 for a private recreation center, club, or area in private elementary school use to include a middle school and a high school and to revise the existing site plan on property on the south line of Samuel Boulevard, east of South Buckner Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 6 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Young.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 62. It's a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CR community retail district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the northeast corner of Bruton Road and McKim Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 41 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and 6 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? We have an individual coming forward. I think. No. Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
The motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 64 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MF1A multifamily district on property on the south corner of Sam Houston Road and Masters Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 42 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? I do believe that the applicant needs to address the City Council on this item. Is that this one? Will the applicant please come forward on the deed restrictions? One moment, please.
I move to, the applicant is not present, and so I move to delay this defer item number 64 until the February 8th, 2017 meeting.
Motion is second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement will apply to agenda items number 65 through 69. By making and seconding the motions, it'll be 65, 67, 68, and 69. By making and seconding the motions the council members represent, they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the items will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 65 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for LC Light commercial subdistrict uses on property on the southeast corner of McKinney Avenue and Bowl Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 130 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 6 replies in favor and 36 in opposition.
Are there any speakers that would like to address the City Council in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Could we ask him to say that in the microphone so we can get a public record? So please. Thank you.
Move to close the public hearing and approve the item as recommended by CPC.
Second. 2 seconds, please.
We got another second. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 67 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a mixed-use development and an ordinance granting the termination of specific use permit number 1373 for a college child care facility and public or private school on property generally on the northeast corner of Simpson Stewart Drive and Highland Hills Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 311 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 22 replies in favor and 28 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm sorry. I move for approval of the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission, subject to the revised development plans that were passed out to you.
Do we have a second?
2 seconds.
2 seconds, thank you. Discussion. Mr. Wilson, did you want to say something? Any other discussion?
I do have a quick question. I'm sorry.
Ms. Arnold?
I was trying to read something. Is this Simpson Stewart in Highland Hills, is that near Paul Quinn? This is Paul Quinn. And so you're what? Plan. They're changing the district designation. So what is the form here? Single family use homes and retail, is that what they're proposing? All right, so was this connected to another prior vote that we made on this application or something similar to a development there? Is this the first time we've talked about this? All right, now those are the only questions. I thought this was brought up in another forum, and maybe that was in committee or so. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All in favor say aye. 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 Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Who made the second? Second, please.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you.
And okay.
All right. Thank
Lots
you.
Of people have. Okay.
I'm sorry, Mayor Rollins.
Sir, sir, no, we're not. No. We didn't call on you. Okay. Sorry. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I don't know. All right, let's go, Mr. Rez.
Agenda item number 68 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new planned development district for residential uses and a private recreation center, club, or area on property on the northwest corner of Forest Lane and Inwood Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 80 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 24 replies in favor and 2 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? We have individuals coming forward. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record and state to the topic.
Hi, my name is Laird Sparks with Graystar Real Estate Partners. On behalf of the applicant, we're here to answer any questions. And some of our supporters are here to answer any questions as well.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Gates. Oh,
Is that it? Ms. Gates.
I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
Second. A motion and a second. Any discussion? Please, Ms. Gates.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I just want to thank all of those. Initially, this was brought up almost 3 years ago, and there was extreme neighborhood opposition and concern. It was going to be a little denser and some retail that was opposed by the community. And so this was a great example of the community coming together. We set up a task force representative of all the streets that were adjacent to this property. They worked kind of diligently with my plan commissioner, Margot Murphy, so give her a lot of credit. They were meeting on a weekly basis for about 5 months with the applicant. So these townhomes that are currently there are about 45 years old and in much need of an upgrade. So we're getting townhomes, but we're also getting a senior living and some athletic fields will belong to Jesuit. I think it's important to note that the current site is 49% permeable space and the proposed is 48%. So they really did a good job of keeping and even providing a public park in the area and also working on retaining all the trees, which is always something we work towards. I just want to thank all of those of you that worked on that committee. I see a few of you sitting out there. And all the neighbors that were engaged in this process and to come up with this kind of support. So I thank you for all your work, and I think we'll all be proud of this project and how it's going to fit into the neighborhood and serve the original intent of this PD was kind of a buffer between a commercial area and the residential adjacency, the residential home. So thank you all for your work and to the developers for coming to the table and really making sure that this was going to be providing what the community so desired. All right.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 69 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new subdistrict on property at the southwest intersection of Inspiration Drive and North Stemmons Freeway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 74 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 4 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, my name is Jonathan Vinson, 2323 Ross Avenue, and I'm here today representing the ownership and the project management on this particular case. The site's about 13 acres on the west side of Stemmons Freeway, close to downtown. It's in PD 621, the design district. A lot of good things are happening in the design district, and we think this is really going to be pretty much the culmination of this when this eventually develops. And we're here before you today to ask for the entitlements to allow for what we envision in the long term as an iconic development for the city of Dallas. There are several options that have been discussed very conceptually about what could go here, but it's owned by the ownership of the Dallas Mavericks. The practice facility is there right now. It has potential for a lot of other uses, including potentially an arena in the long term. We don't know that yet, but that's possible. It could be the site of a corporate relocation, a great mixed-use environment, including an office campus. Close to 13 acres in this location right across the freeway from downtown Dallas is obviously a prime redevelopment site, and we can think all be certain that whatever occurs here in the future is going to be a first-class development that's going to be a great contributor to the city of Dallas as a whole. So that's what we're here for today, is to ask you for the entitlements that we would like to have in place to begin that long-term planning process and eventually see that iconic development. What we've asked for, we think, is not just very reasonable, but actually fits in with the vision for this area as an urban environment. Primarily, we've asked for some height bonuses to allow us to achieve additional structure height. And those height bonuses really, in most cases, are very similar to already existing height bonuses in other subdistricts of PD 621. And for example, just to give you some idea of what those do and how we can earn additional height by providing good design elements. It's activation of the parking structure, that is basically ground floor retail to help activate the district, LEED rating, pedestrian amenities, public art or water feature, electric charging stations, publicly accessible open space on our property. The two big ones are a pro sports franchise practice facility and a potential trail connection to the transit stations on the other side of the freeway. We hope to be able to do that by working with TxDOT. All those added together could give us the potential for additional height. There's also a 5.5 to 1 FAR we're asking for, which I think is very reasonable considering what else is in the area. Staff's recommending approval, and we appreciate their work. The Plan Commission recommended approval, and we would respectfully ask you today to give us the approval we seek on the basis of the Plan Commission recommendation. And again, I want to thank staff, Jennifer Munoz in particular, and everyone else for working with us on this. We think this is going to be a great development in the future for the City of Dallas and hope to have your approval. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and to approve the zoning changes recommended by the City Plan Commission.
A motion is second.
Seconds, please.
And Ms. Grayson, Mr. Kingston. Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know a lot of people were mentioned as far as thanking for working on this project. I also want to make sure that it's noted and recognized that my City Plan Commissioner worked very, very hard and long hours as well. And I couldn't have been more appreciative of the opportunity being given to him to be able to get all this put in place. So thank you for the opportunity to be able to work with him and being able to explain to them so that we look forward to this new area to be having some changes for the betterment of our city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Congratulations, Ms. Alonzo.
Agenda item number 70 is a public hearing regarding consideration of a resolution adopting the Northwest Highway and Preston Road Area Plan. This area plan, if adopted, will be used as a planning and implementation guide for future development in the area generally bounded by Meadowbrook Drive on the west, Walnut Hill Lane on the north, Hillcrest Road on the east, and Greenbrier Drive on the south. Are there any speakers on this item? Any speakers? Sir, if you'll please come forward, state your name and address. You do have 3 minutes to speak. Please stay to the topic and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you.
My name is Pete Klein, and my address is 5807 Deloche Avenue, Dallas, Texas. I'm here as the unofficial, I think I missed a meeting, and they named me as the spokesman of the task force that actually took ownership of this plan and over the last 2 years took a pretty disparate group of people who pretty much didn't agree on anything, which is the history of that for the last 30 years in Preston Center. Those who have been involved with it, and ultimately came up with a plan that has unanimous support from every member of the task force. The task force had four commercial property owners from Preston Center proper. It had seven representatives of single-family neighborhoods that surround Preston Center and two representatives of the behind the pink wall, multifamily neighborhood that extends along the north side of Northwest Highway between Hillcrest and Preston. It was a interesting process. I think that we wound up with, when people actually got together and started talking, they found out that commercial property owners and single family homeowners and multifamily homeowners all have property rights. And frankly, all have the same concerns about traffic and parking and all the other things. And we had a very productive task force that came up with a plan that still has work to do on it as time goes forward, but it provides a framework for development where by protecting the residential neighborhoods the way the residents wanted it protected, they were willing to step up and support increased density in Preston Center and the redevelopment of Preston Center. So I'm happy to answer any questions anybody has.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Klein, for being in that role. You've been in a lot of roles in the city of Dallas, and so we appreciate your citizen volunteership. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt the Northwest Highway and Preston Road area plan.
Got a motion and a second. A discussion, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you all that are here today to celebrate this adoption of this plan. There's a couple of people I want to acknowledge and a few comments I want to make. As Mr. Klein said in the beginning, we were maybe a little challenged that we could come up with a document that we could present with the unanimous support, but we did. I wish more people could be here today, but it was travel schedules and some other issues. But I do want to personally recognize everybody on the advisory task force. We had 7 zones that were represented. Bill Archer for Zone 1, Baxter Brinkman, Zone 2, Leland Burke, Steve Dawson, Betsy Del Monte, Jay Grogan, Meredith Houston, Pete Klein, who's here, Maureen McCaffrey, Laura Miller, our mayor, Patty Niles, Ashley Parks, Mark Rapolo, and Bill Willingham. And I want to acknowledge Leland Burke, who's here today also from the task force. We also worked with a representative from University Park. We share that intersection there with University Park and some traffic signals, so there was some coordination efforts there. The COG, who the North Central Council of Governments, I want to thank Michael Morse for his financial support, and Carla Weaver and Trey, and Trey's here today. And then they helped and coordinated the RFP and hired Kimberly Horn, and Mark Bowers is here with Kimberly Horn. So thank you for all your work. But it really was this task force in the end that came together and decided what this vision would look like. I also want to thank all those that let us meet in their spaces, Christ the King, University Park, Walnut Hill Rec, and then all the City of Dallas employees that really supported us during this effort. My commissioner, in addition to my commissioner, Margo Murphy, who was very instrumental in getting this coordinated. Pierre and Louise and Osama from the city and Tammy Palomino, I appreciate all your work. I'm not going to go through the whole plan, and I'm sure all of you read every single detail in it. Thank you, Mr. Clayton, I know. It's got some beautiful visuals. And the task force did a tremendous job making sure that included the vision. And this will be really a document. I'll take it to page 7, Roman numeral 701, that if there's zoning cases that come forward, this gives a vision of what the residents and the commercial property in the area want the area to look like. And again, it protects single-family homes, and at the same time, where that ugly, completely dysfunctional garage that the city owns in Preston Center, it gives a new vision for that. Now, we're going to be challenged to how we're going to pay for that, but we have identified that if we work with the commercial property owners in the area, we can possibly come up with a solution and get a new garage. The vision would be to have that garage buried and have the parking underneath and have a park and amenities on top. So those pictures are in there. And with that, I'll just ask Pierre if you want to comment on you know, how you think this will impact this area in Dallas from a city's perspective.
Thank you, Ms. Gates. This plan actually does mark a pretty significant milestone for this important part of the city. And as was mentioned before, the previous plan for this area dates back to 1989. So much has happened since then, and there's significant potential in this area, and through the efforts of this task force, we actually now have a vision that can provide guidance for zoning cases, also establishes some priorities for infrastructure improvements that enjoys the community support. So I feel very good about the plan, about having a basis for providing staff recommendations to this body for zoning cases and the like.
Thank you. Well, thank you for the support during this process. So we've been working on it you know, about 2 years. So I'm very proud of the end results, and look, I ask for your support to get this passed, and you know, and
have this plan adopted, because I think it's going to be important that we have this vision that's really the community's vision for council members after myself in this position and other council members around this horseshoe to make decisions when things are brought forward regarding this area. So, thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Congratulations, Ms. Gates. This is a long, a lot of work, and importantly, I think it's great that the neighbors came together and developed this plan. So good leadership. Thank you.
Agenda item number 71 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirements from a public school, W.H. Adamson High School, to allow a mixed beverages permit for a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service with a food and beverage certificate, Los Zapitos, Inc., DBA Las Ranitas, on the west corner of East Jefferson Boulevard and South Crawford Street. Are there any speakers on this item? We have an individual coming forward. Sir, you're allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. Please state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
Good afternoon. My name is Raul Estrada. My address is 325 East Jefferson, Dallas, Texas, 75203. And I'm the applicant. I just was here in case you had any questions on the variance.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other speakers? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor. And the item does require 2 seconds, and it is an alcohol variance request.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve.
A motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion, Ms. Griggs?
Well, we love your restaurant. You're an institution on Jefferson and Oak Cliff, so look forward to you staying and serving alcohol and food. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
People, do we want to do unanimous on that list? Thank you. There is some discussion. Mr. Callahan, I guess we're all going
to. I just want to say that is a great place to eat. Mr. Estrada, and I also want to thank you for your development on Buckner Boulevard. This guy, wherever he goes, he always does positive, well-thought-out developments, and we really appreciate you taking an old substandard structure and putting in, Planet Fitness, I think, Hollywood, or Planet Fitness, I guess is what it's called. And then you've got an auto parts store there, and you reconstituted the bazaar and cleaned it all up. But you just made a really nice site that really contributes to the community. And thank you for your efforts.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes. Just a question. On resolutions such as this, and since this includes impacts a community with the public school, that being W.H. Adamson High School, was DISD involved in the discussion of this application?
Mr. Griggs?
I would say, yes, I spoke with them. There's not opposition to it because, as many of you know, Adamson's been there a long time, but there's two campuses. There's the old one and the new one. And so you were there before the new campus,
That's correct.
New building. And the new building is what's triggering this because they built a new one. So DISD doesn't have any issues with this. I spoke to them. There's
well,
no
I guess
issues
my question would be, to whom did you speak, just so that I'll know moving forward?
Oh, the trustee.
Oh, who would be the trustee for this
district? Pinkerton.
Ms. Pinkerton. All right, so it was not with the board itself and Mr. Hinojosa, just the trustee?
On the board.
No, the board, the whole entire board.
I did not visit with the entire board.
Yeah, I just need to know how this process works, and so that as I move forward, I'll get an understanding. Traditionally, I don't support those types of institutions, but this is a restaurant, so that's a little bit different. I just need to know. Moving forward, I will also always advocate for the school being a part of the conversation because I know in some of the advancements for economic development in my community, the schools are often left out of the conversation. And so this is why I'm asking the question so that it is on public record. Thank you and congratulations and would love to have you in District 4 if you feel
Thank
like
you,
you
Ms.
need
Arnold,
to.
I wanted just to tell you that it was we've had a private club license for 25 years, so it's just a matter of reducing the paperwork. When the area allowed mixed beverages under the new rules,
we just never got around to updating it, and this is just a kind of a paperwork shuffle. We're not changing anything that we've been doing or continue to do.
Well, and thank you so much. It's just that as new families come in, and I am an educator for life, and that's one of the questions that we have to ask, and just an advocate, and it's just good for me to know and have it, that conversation documented on the record.
Yes, ma'am.
And good luck to you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I did want to say I fully support Mr. Estrada and his business, because not only is he a business owner, he lives in the city of Dallas, and he also has been participating in helping a lot of community events, especially with children that have to do with children and family. So I really wanted to say we thank you for everything that you've done. And I will tell you, he's a major participant of advocacy at St. Mary of Carmel. That is a church in the West Dallas community, and he's been very involved. So I'm very appreciative of everything that him and his family have done for the city of Dallas. So we want to say thank you, Mr. Estrada.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I think Mr. Estrada has a lot of fans on the council. But to Ms. Arnold's point, I've had a couple of these cases, and I know the school district, they won't take a position. The district itself, I found it's the best to work with the neighbors in the area, but they, I think, have a policy relating these, that they, the school itself doesn't take a position. But if there is opposition, usually, you know, students or families from the neighborhood let you know that.
Thank you, Ms. Arnold.
Yes. Just so that you all know for the record, because I know they love me in the Twitter sphere and they love to comment on any areas, gray areas that they think I'm confused on. The point for me, the reason that I'm asking this question for the record, case in point, as we're moving forward, just for example, with the Southern Gateway, plans were moving ahead without including the DISD at the table, so the parents would know about the changes in pattern of traffic and other developments. So I continue to ask for clarification. I don't expect the board to come up and just, but I think as we're building schools and we're pushing for quality neighborhoods and the whole complete safe neighborhoods that we talk about, the schools need to be a part of that conversation. So that's why I'm asking. I do understand the process. I've been with the district, have been with the district for a number of years, so I'm not confused. But I'd want to have certain things on the record, because I am asked those things from time to time. Where were you? What was your position? And so I like for my position to be on record, so I'm not confused or discombobulated in any way. So thank you so very much for your
thank
help.
You.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you. We'll take up addendum item number 2 from this morning.
Addendum item number 2 is a resolution. Number 1, encouraging council members who serve as Dallas Police and Fire Pension System trustees to take all available actions to address the system's dire financial situation. Number 2, authorizing reimbursement of the council members' costs arising from any such actions. Number 3, reaffirming the city's dedication to providing a secure retirement for its first responders and their families, while not jeopardizing the public treasury. And number 4, reaffirming the city's dedication to seeking balanced and responsible legislation with the system for as long as those efforts appear to have a chance of success.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second.
May need to specify, Mr. Mayor, that the form of resolution is the one handed out immediately before the reconvening of the meeting at 1.
That was the paper I said that everybody needed to read when we first sat down. Everybody's got that.
Perfect. Thank you,
Discussion, Mr. Kingston?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. this is not a step that the 4 pension trustees have taken lightly. There is a severe problem at the pension, and we need the help of a court, I believe, in order to sort it out. The idea is not to damage the system, but to save it. Currently, as it is structured, the pension is anticipated to go to have a liquidity problem very soon and to potentially be insolvent, meaning without assets to pay benefits maybe in as few as 10 years. The liquidity problem is much more acute, though, actually. There is every chance that unless we are able to liquidate illiquid assets at fire sale prices, we could be looking at the possibility of retirees not receiving their checks within a year or so. And that's a terrifying prospect. We cannot allow that to happen. We have 1,300 retirees who live on less than $2,500 a month. Currently, the board's plan to continue allowing drop withdrawals, even on a limited basis, mathematically shortens the period of time that we can pay that base benefit to some of our oldest and most vulnerable retirees. And that is, in my view, the other trustees may speak for themselves, that is, in my view, our primary fiduciary duty is to treat all of these beneficiaries equitably. I am very hopeful that this council, in conjunction with the legislature and the board, will ultimately be able to find a way to recapitalize the system. We want to save that system. We, regardless of how we got here, and we can have many discussions on how we got to this place, the goal, and the goal that everyone should be able to agree with, is that the city of Dallas needs excellent police and fire personnel, and that those people deserve a stable, secure retirement. That, I think that those are inarguable goals. So if we all do share those goals, we can argue about how we are going to effectuate those goals, but we should not be seen as, I hope that we will not be perceived as attacking the system. The goal is to save the system. The goal is to extend the ability of the system to pay that base benefit for as long as possible while we are doing our dead level best to get the cavalry to ride in for us. We're going to have to be creative. We are going to have to spend money to fix this problem. But we need as much time as possible to be able to do that. And we need to make sure that those most vulnerable beneficiaries continue to be able to have at least subsistence payments until then. I hope that makes sense to everybody. I know that this is incredibly stressful for the beneficiaries. There is no doubt that there are beneficiaries that because of the changes already made, will have to liquidate assets, houses, cars, things that they, you know, thought that they would be able to pay for going forward. And we're going to see some incredibly sad stories. Just prepare yourself. But we have got to, at this point, make sure that we're treating all beneficiaries equitably. I very much appreciate the support of our colleagues that are not on that board. It's not a fun job, and y'all having our back on this is highly appreciated. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. I want to echo and say ditto to everything that Mr. Kingston said. And on behalf of the council, behalf of the mayor, I want to say thank you to Ms. Gates, to Mr. Griggs, to Mr. Wilson, Mr. Kingston for serving on this board. This is hard work, and we as a council need to make sure that we do everything we can to save this system. With that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. We'll take our afternoon speakers. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before we do our speakers, thank you for allowing me the opportunity, Mr. Mayor. And I know that we don't talk about every time we lose someone in our districts, but I did want to share with you all that this week we lost a very great lady, Ms. Lula B. Joyner, is also known as Ms. LBJ. She was 105 years old, and she passed away this week, and she is a resident of the West Dallas communities, and she will be missed. She volunteered up until the age of 104. So I wanted to extend my condolences to all the Joyner family. Mr. Mayor, I know that we always talk about getting them involved, And she was one of the ladies that kept on telling them that they needed to continue to get involved. So our condolences to her family.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Also, on a note of interest, I wanted to report to you that my former opponent in the original election, Mr. Bruce Shaw, has passed away. Bruce was about 61 years old. He was an elder in the Gospel Tabernacle, Bishop David Martin's church. Fine gentleman. When we campaigned, he was very positive and never any personal attacks. Just a fine man, a constituent, a friend, and he will be greatly missed. His wake is Friday night, followed by a funeral Saturday morning at 11 in Oak Cliff. So, Bruce, Godspeed, and we know where he's at.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I hate to also be the bearer of bad news, but I was recently informed after we got out of executive session that the wife of Precinct 1 Judge Thomas Jones passed today. So we want to keep him in our prayers, and I was able to reach out to him and give him condolences as soon as I get or my office gets information for the services. We'll make sure that we get that around to all the council members and you, Mayor.
And last but not least, this week we have lost former Dallas Mayor Robert Folsom, who, if you love the Mavericks or love the Stars, this is the man that made that happen, helping us build Reunion Arena and also the Dallas Museum of Art, and a mayor that served the city for many years, as you know. And so our thoughts with Steve and the rest of his family. With that, we'll take our afternoon speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our remaining speaker from this morning were Maurice Donovan, Shalandria Gallimore, and LaCoya London. Maurice Donovan, not present. Shalandria Gallimore, not present. LaCoya London, not present. David King, not present. No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned 1:52 p.m. Thank you. It's all me.